Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host.
Today, we're going to talk about why be a broker in a challenging market. I have the perfect person, Kurt Reddick. Kurt is founder of Promise Home Loans. Before that, Kurt has founded and sold several different mortgage companies to large lenders. Hi, Kurt.
Nice to be here, Pat. Good to see you.
Well, it's exciting to talk to you about this topic, but let's talk a little bit about how you got into our world of mortgage banking and what did that all look like?
Well, probably like everyone else, went to school for something else in college. And then, yeah. You know, some buddies were in the business and, you know, trying to find your way and got into it. And then it's like the mafia, you know, once you're in, you can't get out. It's kind of that way. So I've been in it since really over 30 years and started off as an originator and then figured out, you know, how the business was done and started my first company back in, I think it's 98 now, maybe before that. And just always enjoyed building and creating success for others.
Well, I know you're great at it because I certainly go back, not as far as all that, but certainly a long way. So talk about challenges that you see lenders should be addressing and aren't addressing, or what are your thoughts? This is obviously a much different market than what they were anticipating.
Since we're a broker, it's a different model. It's really, you know, more of a sales model, and we're engaging with wholesalers and as the lenders, as the retail arms for us, or the banking arms for what we do. And the challenges are, you know, obviously interest rates are part of it. I think they've come a long way as far as that part of the business, how they have invested in technology, many of them. Mm-hmm. Some are still working old school. They're certainly investing a lot into AI and those type of things. So
sure.
For us, that's the good part about being a broker. Any lender who's having a challenge, we can move away from if they're not delivering on service, mm-hmm. compared to what we do, you know, in the past where everything has to do with you. So the challenges of the business, I think, are universal with everyone, right? As far as needing more volume, needing more talented people and motivated folks, and certainly trying to coach and bring potential producers and training them the right way, which obviously we learned a lot from you over the last 25 years history together.
Yeah, it's in many ways, it's the same issues going back to then as today. So talk about in your own company, since you've started so many of them and now you're on your third one, talk about kind of what are your priorities for this year?
For us, it's growth when it comes to adding more loan officers. On the operational front, we've got the same people that were with me 25 years ago. So that's the great news, is we have, mm-hmm. you know, really strong backbone of the platform. And unlike previous worlds, we're more of a distributive retail to a certain extent. We have some consumer direct, but mostly loan officers mm-hmm. across the country working remotely. So the challenge for us is, you know, how to keep them, you know, culturally, you know, connected to us. It's more of an independent model. So it's finding those type of loan officers who can work independently, don't need a manager beating them over the head every day what to do. They need to be able to wake up and get to work. And that's a hard thing to do over time. You just got to keep going at it one loan officer at a time. It's probably sourcing new loan officers who want to make that transition to the wholesale model.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's go into our main topic today. So talk about, and again, you've seen the business from both sides as a banker and now as a broker. So talk about the issue of what do you see that is making the broker model appealing versus the banker model or any of those types of models that lenders have?
Yeah, so you know, 07, 08, you know, during the, you know, the dark days, you know, they thought the broker model would go away. And literally less than 5% of the business was being done by a broker back then. Mm-hmm. The latest stat right now is at least one out of four loans being originated by a broker. And why is that, right? It has to do with product choices. So we can work with multiple lenders. So if one loan doesn't, a loan doesn't fit the box, we could take that somewhere else to a different lender. Pricing flexibility, being able to be more competitive, obviously compensation, freedom, flexibility, and also to build your brand. The loan officers that are moving over who have been in retail, the broker used to be a really, like a four-letter word
Yeah,
even 4 years
true.
ago, right? Now
Right.
broker is acceptable. And I tell loan officers as they're trying to make that decision to move over, they're worried about, what the disruption to their business, what their referral partners might think. And I tell them that almost every time they're going to probably high five you because they now know the broker is a great model because of the flexibility and you don't have to say no as often. Typically, their business will grow 25% because all of a sudden they can say yes more often. They can be
Yeah.
more price competitive so they don't lose deals. I just had a conversation with a loan officer this morning about how he won a deal from his previous company and he's won that referral business forever now just because he's in the broker model.
So talk about, and I know you mentioned stories before about this issue of the originator when they move into a broker model, that the realtors aren't a gasp at it as they used to be. And
Correct.
so,
Right.
and why do you think that is? Or is it just that the broker model's matured, or maybe the individuals going into it are better than they were before? What are your thoughts on that?
It's a lot of things, but first of all, it's knowledge. The realtors who used to be would be shy if you're a broker because they're
Sure.
afraid that you couldn't perform.
Right.
Now have just like the loan officer has heard that the brokers are outperforming in many times the bankers. And I mean, I did a stat the other day of how fast our loans are moving through the process, right? And so you're giving quick answers. The realtors realize that what the value of being a broker is today. And it's not that if you don't work for a bank, that's okay. And they like that you have the flexibility. They know we can move quicker. They know we can do tougher deals that the bank may not do. We can be more creative. And in many cases, it is the higher producing loan officer who is making the move. We've got, plenty of those types, some that that they instantly started making more money and started doing more loans just because they moved from the bank to the broker.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Who is this really attracted to? It is it the depository folks that have had it, or is it actually independent mortgage bankers who have decided that, I'm going to move on to my own business, really? So.
It's both, but really at the end of the day, it's the independent mortgage banker who's is a loan officer for that. And so they're moving over to the broker model. And for us, it's like, well, you could go start your own company, right?
Sure.
You could be go be your own broker, but there's tons of compliance and a lot of other things that they don't realize. It's still the
Yeah.
mortgage business. There's still a lot of things you're doing, a lot of costs you don't anticipate. And we've had teams, we've had individuals who are thinking about doing that themselves. And once they have the conversation, you walk them through it because what we run is basically a flat fee model in most cases, where the loan officer is taking 100% of the revenue from what we're getting in the origination, less a flat fee. And it's very nominal, typically $9.95 in our model. And that allows them to basically run their own business without having to run their own business. They get to
Right.
pay attention to just originating loans. They could, and then put their loans into a good process and be supported. So most of the ones that are moving over, you have to have a mindset, first of all, you're self-employed anyway, if you're a loan officer, that's the way it's always been, right? I mean,
Sure.
you're already self-employed, right? It's a little bit different when you make the move. There's some things you have to do that you didn't have to do at the bank. You're not going to get 50,000 bells and whistles. But those 50,000 bells and whistles you got at your old company come at a cost, right?
Yeah.
And so they have to increase their margins to pay for all of that. And so by going in there where it's just a flat management structure, you just have to be willing to be somewhat truly self-employed where you don't have
Right.
managers over your head. You know, we certainly have team meetings and things like that, and we try to help each other. It's more of a community-based type of business compared to being held accountable to all your daily activities. You need to be right. accountable to yourself to a certain extent.
So would you say that the folks that are at depositories, especially, let's say, at credit unions or at banks, mm-hmm. that this is a model that is really not one that matches up for them typically?
Yeah, it always comes down to where they're sourcing their business, right? If it's credit union, you're getting all, you know, you're doing mm-hmm. 5-10 loans a month, but it's because the customer's coming in, or the member in the credit union's world is coming in and filling out application. You lose that, right? You're not right. going to have that anymore. So the ones that are moving out of the, and we have those moving out of banks and out of credit unions, but they have to have relationships outside of that. Otherwise they don't, you know, they're starting from scratch, right? Now, if they have realtor relationships, that'll be perfect. And we compete with the credit unions in many cases and the banks. Mm-hmm. But really, I would say it's probably 90% are moving just from either from another, it's coming over for us, either another broker, but in most cases from an independent mortgage bank.
So I'm curious about typically the age of somebody moving from in-house type of model coming over to being a broker. Are these younger people or are these older people that have only so many years left? Or
well, I've got a little of both, right? So you have the ones that have, you know, been doing it long
for a while,
right? For a while, and they still have referral business coming in. They can't get away from it, right? But they don't want to do it day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I wouldn't call them part time, but they are to a certain extent.
Yeah, right?
They're getting deals in. They want to make sure they're compensated, but they don't want to have to feel like I have to be in the office every day or I have to check in every day. It's the great thing about this model is that you have the flexibility of working when you want to work and not work when you don't want to work. I literally have somebody who is, and he's a high producer. He's literally going on a 6-month RV trip with him, his wife, and two young ones. And he's going to work while he's traveling the country. And he'll do just as much business because he's been doing it long enough because people don't, you know, all they care about is his service. And so the flexibility, you know, he could never do that in a mortgage bank, right? I mean, just
wouldn't. No. Yeah.
So it's I would call it maybe not age, but veterans, right? Mm-hmm. Who are like, why? And it's almost how we started the model one time. I had a call or how it kind of got going. I had a call from a loan officer I've known for a long time. And she goes, Kirk, I know you're doing the broker thing. She goes, talk to me about it. She goes, I'm working for a mortgage bank. I've been here 3 years. I've got 3 layers of management. We've got all this overhead. I can't compete. And I don't even want to take another application because I can't convert, right? Mm-hmm. And when she called me, it was like, that was the kind of the bell that rang in my head that, okay, if she's thinking this way, there's lots of loan officers thinking this way. And it was right. And so in the age group, there are younger folks making the move over, right? Who are trying to build.
Right.
And that's wonderful, right? Because the other side is, if you have the mentality and the motivation to do it yourself, you don't need that, you just need the support. It's a perfect model for any loan officer being just starting out or a long-term veteran, because the ones that are just starting out, we'll coach and help them get there, right? Mm-hmm. But they have to go do the activities, which is always the hardest part, as you know.
Oh yeah.
Finding somebody who will do the activities week in and week out to become a consistent producer.
So one of the changes that I observed, and I'm curious about your opinion, is that the support that you give to the broker has changed a lot. And so what type of support are they actually getting?
Just terminology-wise, right, it's a loan officer coming over to the wholesale model. So they're still loan officers. Some of them will call themselves brokers to a certain extent, right? But they're loan officers, right? So what support? That's one of the biggest questions we have when a loan officer is coming over from the retail side, because they're worried about that piece, right? And so we have transitional support, obviously, initially, because you have to help them understand the process, right? When it's not just one lender, it can be multiple lenders in multiple systems, right? We work on our own LOS, which is very well designed for the broker world and the wholesale world, but they have to transition loans over to lenders. They have to lock loans in different systems, so on and so forth. So you have to support them in that transition. That's probably the one of the biggest pieces. And then there's ongoing support. So at the end of the day, the support thing becomes both what we call a loan officer partner who is basically coaching them through all the transition, ongoing support with processing and operation. So as I said earlier, it's kind of a community support system in a sense that everyone's always, there's always going to be somebody there to help you and support you when you have a question about a product, about a price. Obviously, you know, we have chat within the company itself, and they always can pick up the phone to figure out something. It's really important that they have that because there's differences in the model. But what we've said, and it shows true every time, after about 5 or 6 transactions, they got it, right?
Yeah.
And now they just, it's just a loan at the end of the day.
Sure.
No different. It's just the way the workflow works. And they need that support. But support is ultimately the biggest thing. We look at the loan officer as the customer. And I've said that for years. And that's the way we look at them. They have their customer. And ultimately, we have, you know, their customers, our customer. But the loan officer is the customer to us, right? So what do we have to provide them to help them succeed and feel comfortable in that transition?
So talk about this issue of, and you've been doing this now for a couple of years in your current company, who is successful in that model that you see versus those that this is not a model for them?
Well, there's two answers to the question, but
yeah,
two different loan officers, I would call it. So we have the distributed retail loan officer, the traditional referral-based loan officer who's going out calling on realtors. I would say today for them, it's just that they have to get up and do more prospecting than they've ever had to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even some of our biggest producers, as they've said, their realtors have, I'll use his term, flaming out, right? They're just like a lot of loan officers are flaming out in the sense that, you know, they're no longer, they don't have it in them to go out and find another buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And the loan officer's tired also. But so people who are successful in this model are, you know, willing to work, right? Now, if they already have a built-in referral base that's, you know, consistent and always doing well, that conversion, they're going to do is start making more money if they make the transition and easier, actually. If you're not, I guess, willing to feel truly self-employed, right? We have LOs who don't do very much production at all, which is okay, right? Over long term, it won't because of the way our structure's built. But if they're not willing to put in the time, they're not going to be successful and understanding the model and trying to get better every day, because that's probably the most important part. But if you're not entrepreneurial, if you're worried about, oh, if I don't close a deal next week, I can't pay my rent, you should not make the transition, for sure, right? It's not for that, for the faint of heart, at least if you're just starting out.
Well, that was going to be my words. Self-employed's not for the faint of heart. That's
no.
For sure, as you well know, and I know for sure.
Yep.
So time has flown by. So we have a few minutes left. Share a couple takeaways for our listeners today.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, the broker model, as I stated earlier, has now taken over the, you know, 1 out of 4 loans being closed in the wholesale model. I think it's going to continue to grow. Our major lender is United Wholesale and UWM, and they continue to just get better and better, and they're making the rest of the wholesale market better because they all have to keep up with them.
Right.
So I think the wholesale model is not only growing but thriving, and loan officer, the type of loan officers coming over is getting better and better and better, and the ones that do come over instantly see success typically. And I just believe it in the model. I believe in the culture of the wholesale community. And it's just a great place to be.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing your wisdom today. So how can people get a hold of you if they want to discuss this whole issue?
Obviously, LinkedIn, they can find me, you know, Kirk Redding. And they can also email me at Kirk, K-I-R-K, @promiseloans.com.
Well, I want to thank you, Kurt, for sharing all your thoughts. And I want to thank our listeners today. To hear more of our podcasts, go to patsherlock.com and subscribe. Thanks so much, Kurt.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.